This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at DanaFarber.org/everywhere.
Russian diamonds are getting the cut. Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. We're coming from you live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Diamonds getting the cut, that's one of the latest sanctions being imposed on Russia as the leaders of the G7 nations meet in the city of Hiroshima in Japan. The G7 is made up of some of the world's leading economies. The US, the EU and Britain, they're all part of that, and they're kicking off the meetings by bringing in new economic penalties against Russia. The BBC's Nick Marsh is in Hiroshima. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Leanna.
So what kind of sanctions are we talking about here?
We think there's around 300 different categories related to this fresh round of sanctions. So the idea is to try and hurt Russia economically and then, of course, militarily to try and lessen its impact in its war against Ukraine. We also think that there's attempts to try and tighten these sanctions when it comes to loopholes that are currently being exploited. Russia is using third countries to try and evade these sanctions. So there's been even greater scrutiny. In terms of what other countries have done already, well, Britain has actually imposed a ban on the import of Russian origin diamonds. That's on top of a ban on imports of copper, of aluminium, of nickel.
And what do you think, Nick, about how hurtful these new sanctions are going to be on the Russian economy? Because although it has hit the Russian economy, it's not like it's on its knees.
If the intention of G7 countries was to bring Russia's war effort to a halt, it hasn't succeeded just yet. I think these sanctions are going to tighten. The implementation of them is going to have to be tighter too. But I think G7 countries are beginning to also realise that it can't just be Western countries with some Asian partners. They need to get other countries on board from the so-called global south. So that's developing countries.
The BBC's Nick Marsh, thanks so much for giving us the latest from Hiroshima, and thanks so much for joining us on Marketplace.
Thanks very much, Leanna.
Now let's do the numbers. Chinese equities fell after weaker than expected third quarter results from tech giant Alibaba. They didn't impress some investors. And China says it's become the world's biggest exporter of cars after exporting 1 million vehicles in the first 3 months of the year, overtaking Japan. Now, large parts of northeastern Italy are experiencing the worst storms in 100 years. 13,000 people have been forced from their homes and 13 are dead. The cost of the damage is expected to be in the billions, and the agricultural sector is particularly hard hit. The region of Emilia-Romagna has been badly hit. We'll hear from their mayor, Michele De Pascale, in a moment. But first up is Nicolo Santoro, who's in Bologna.
Yesterday, everything was floating around because there was still water inside the house. It was still like 1 meter. And when the water left, there was 40 centimeters of mud, and it was so difficult to walk around. Now we are trying to clean everything.
The flood that hit my city and my region, especially Romania, has been like someone pointed the perfect storm. And the effects have been catastrophic. Many people have lost their homes, their possessions, some of their life. In the last century is the worst event in the story of Romania.
For more on that story, you can visit the BBC News website. Catching a wave will cost you. The worldwide surfing equipment market was estimated to be worth nearly $4 billion in 2021, and that's predicted to rise to $5.5 billion by 2028. The surfing tourism industry is also tipped to grow, but this swell in surfing comes at an environmental cost. The BBC's Claire Marshall reports.
That surfing dream. The perfect wave. the perfect look. But beneath the surface lies a murkier side. For every pristine peak, broken boards and piles of cheap polystyrene dumped on our beaches. Can surfing clean up its act? This is a lifestyle industry as much as a sport, one based around the latest fashion, luxury goods, and travel. A surfer's carbon footprint can be around 50% bigger than the average person's. Dr. Greg Bourne is a keen surfer and has been studying the environmental impact of the sport for more than a decade.
Surfing sells everything, from clothing to watches with some of the most prominent surfers in the world modelling them. So therefore you have this relationship between surfing, this amazing imagery, and promoting that lifestyle and selling those products. Everyone wants to be part of that surfing culture, that dream that's being sold by the corporations.
That's a dream some top surfers are living for real. This is Lucy Campbell, a UK champion surfer. She's preparing for next year's Olympic Games.
I really try and be selective with the brands that I work with. It's often hard to turn down a big paycheck with a brand that isn't sustainable, but it's definitely more worthwhile in the long run.
Have you done that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. You do want to encourage people to get outdoors, but at the same time, at what cost to the planet?
Also adding to the damage done by the industry are wetsuits. It's estimated that around 1 million are thrown away globally each year. One British surf company has been collecting old wetsuits its customers had lying around.
We found these ones, which have got to be from the 80s or 90s. It's in really good condition.
It's really
still.
Good condition. Have you got any idea of the scale of the problem?
The stats aren't even out there. We've had to do our own research to look at the size of the global wetsuit market. We've conservatively come to probably about 8,000 tonnes of neoprene a year. We'll ultimately end up in landfill.
The Surf Industry Members Association represents manufacturers across the globe. It says, we're proud of progress the industry has made. Admittedly, much more needs to be done. And it needs to be done quickly. More than 35 million people are now riding the waves, and that number is swelling all the time.
BBC's Claire Marshall there, and that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.